Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from Calvin Pritchard.
Growing up in West Palm Beach, when I was younger, like in elementary school, around about the second or third grade, I was a pretty troublesome child. I got in a lot of trouble. You know, I wasn't really gifted at my academics. I didn't pay attention as much as I should. You know, and I was, there were times where I was seen as a tough guy or the bully in school. But I always had this curiosity about death. I didn't fear anything, but I was afraid of dying. And I didn't want to go to hell. My mother, she kept me in church. You know, I went to church often and often. One weekend, I stayed to my aunt's house. We were just playing around. I don't know if we were watching a movie or anything. I'm not sure what happened. I just overheard her say that we're living in the last days. And it struck me instantly. And I wondered, like, when is the last day? When she said the last day, I sincerely thought that she knew when the last day on earth was and when the world was going to come to an end. So I asked her. Because in my head, I wanted to know when the last day was so I can be good on the last day and go to heaven. You know, that was my whole plan. But then she said, no, Calvin, the last day can be any day. No one knows when the last day is. It can be a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, or 1,000 years from now. No one knows. When she said that, I became... All right, I was at ease. Once I heard her say 1,000 years, I was like, okay, well, it's 1,000 years from now, though. And I didn't have anything to worry about. But she told me, she said, but if you die and you're not saved and baptized, you will go to hell. Now, I never knew anything about being saved and baptized because I went to church and I thought that was just enough, you know, and I love God, and I thought it was enough to get in heaven, but she told me, specifically told me, those were the requirements that you to go to heaven. And so that immediately struck me with fear because I grew up in a rough neighborhood, and where I'm from, the cost of death is really cheap. You know, I lost a lot of friends that were murdered, shot, you know. I knew the next day wasn't promised to me. I knew that it just wasn't promised. I had no idea when I was going to die, you know, still don't have any idea. And that following Sunday, I pondered about this. I thought about it. I even dreamed about it. I seen myself going to the altar before I even went there. And that following Sunday when I went to church, when my pastor, Apostle James Lofton Jr., he opened the floor of who wanted to get baptized and who wanted to get saved, I went up there. Younger kids went up there, but on behalf of their parents, you know, pretty much forced them to go. But this wasn't by force. This was strictly by choice. And so I was timid a little bit, but I was full of courage, and my fear of dying and going to hell overrided whatever timidity I had about going to the altar. And I went up there, and I told them I wanted to be saved and I wanted to be baptized. And within that next week, it was on a Saturday, it was a pool that we went to. He put us in a robe and put my hair in a net, and he baptized me in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I accepted Jesus Christ in my life as my Lord and my personal Savior. And I believed that he died on the cross for my sin, and he rose on the third day. And after that whole experience, like I said, I was a bad child. I did a lot of things. I cursed a lot. I was in fights. You know, I didn't pay attention in school. I didn't apply my academics. But after that whole experience of being saved, I was completely washed of a lot of wrong things I did. I didn't curse for a long time. And when I did say my curse words, every single time I asked God to forgive me. And I wasn't aggressive with my peers. You know, I wasn't getting in many fights like that. I applied myself in school. Even when I applied myself, I still had challenges as far as my academics, but I sincerely was just changed, truly. It was a lot of things that just fell off of me because this encounter, it was truly a personal encounter with God that I had. And now that I've grown older, I'm not perfect by any means. The problems do come, but I have to continue to stay in it, renew my spirit, you know, to renew my mind, to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, to continue to fight these constant battles that come. Because as you grow, as you get older, you know what I'm saying, you become more accountable for certain things, and there are going to be more challenges, and the Bible is my blueprint.
Calvin Pritchard with a story about his words being saved.
And it is a story about coming out of a really tough place, both geographically and emotionally. He uses a very interesting expression, and I thought, I'll need to correct him. He missed a word. And then I thought, this is such a better way of saying it. There's a cliche, of course, the cost of life is cheap. And what he said is the cost of death is cheap. And I don't know whether he misspoke or not. It doesn't matter. It's a beautiful way of saying that it really didn't take much to die.
From his standpoint.
From his standpoint, from where he was, absolutely, in that neighborhood.
I guess he wasn't as motivated by his behavior as much as he is about the thought about dying.
It's interesting that he says he had always had some connection with God, but the way he starts the story was talking about his curiosity about death and being afraid of dying, which you wouldn't necessarily attribute to a child in second or third grade, unless it was all around him, which, as he says, it was. And I love how his aunt mentions this is the last day, meaning, of course, the apocalypse. And he's thinking that, let me know when it is, and I'll be sure to be good on that day. I thought it was such a clever thing for a little boy to say.
And it took a lot of guts to walk up to that altar without parents' help. Do it on your own.
Yes. And speaking of guts, he said something that may seem like an oxymoron, but actually is the way we are. He said, I was timid a little bit, but I was full of courage. And that's sort of the yin and yang of the way people really are. Nobody is all one thing or all the other, you know? And here he was a timid kid, which strikes us perhaps as ironic since he was known as a bully and as a fighter. But maybe that's how he overcompensated. And yet he was full of courage walking up to that altar alone. That is really a mature thing to do.
It takes courage and strength to make any change.
Here's what Calvin's story leaves me with. It's not just a story about transformation and about how finding God and being saved in particular can transform you into a better person. What I get personally out of this story is when he says what happened to him after he was saved, he doesn't say, I never got into a fight again. He says, I wasn't getting into as many fights. He doesn't say, I gave up cursing and was perfect. He says, I apologized to God. I said I was sorry. He says, I'm not perfect by any means. In other words, sometimes when we hear a fairy tale, and we hear that people lived happily ever after, we may think that's only in stories. And it is only in stories. Life is always a series of two steps forward and one step back and trials and errors. It's a constant maintenance of that behavior and of that attitude and of those values. And to me, this is a very wise story, not just about being saved, but about what it means to be a good person.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in. Karen, I understand there's a storytelling event this week?
Yes, on Tuesday, December 4th, at the Broward Main Library on 100 South Andrews Avenue, there is a holiday story jam. In other words, I'm going to be telling stories. People can tell their own holiday stories. There'll be refreshments. We'll have a great time. and it's 2 to 4 p.m. That's the main Broward Library at 100 South Andrews Avenue in Fort Lauderdale, December 4th, 2 to 4 p.m.
I understand there's a story slam you're hosting?
Yes. Next Sunday, December 9th, at the Robot Brewing Company in Boca Raton, 5 to 7 p.m., we have a storytelling slam. You don't need to pre-register. You just come on in, and if you're one of the first 10 people to sign up, you're welcome to tell a true, non-memorized, non-written story from your life. And we give out a $100 prize. The address, 2521 North Federal Highway, Boca Raton.
And if our listeners have a South Florida story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneile, that's C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu, and I'll give you the information.
Information is also available at our website at wlrn.org, click radio, and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Mike. I'll see you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.